This is Audible.
Recorded Books presents a sci-fi audio production, The Atrocity Archives, by Charles Stross.
Chapter 8. Storming Mount Impossible. The artist's rifles storm the Ahnenerbe's secret fortress with speed and elan, moderated only by tactical caution and a degree of perplexity that deepens as they determine that the castle is, in fact, unoccupied. First in is the little reconnaissance robot, portaged into position and released by a couple of tense soldiers half a kilometer away from the rest of the expedition. As it rolls onto the flat killing apron around the redoubt, Bravo team moves like ghosts through the petrified forest on the other side of the castle. Everybody is tense. Nobody talks on radio while their line of sight is on the castle, and nobody wants to be visible either. On infrared against this chill landscape, a human being will stand out like a magnesium flare. The robot rolls out onto the killing apron in front of the castle, little puffs of snow fountaining up behind its treads. At this point, if anyone is guarding it, we'd expect to see fireworks, but nothing happens. Nobody shoots, nothing lights up. I hunch over behind Hutter's shoulder, watching the video feed via the secure fiber-optic cable. The castle is dark, except for a central building that glows red-hot, 250 degrees hotter than the ambient temperature. It silhouettes the battlements, towers, and radomes nicely. Alan circles a hand above his head twice, and a long way away, a sleeping dragon erupts. A dot of light sizzles across the frozen landscape on a jet of flame and slams into the outer door of the gatehouse. Lumps of stone and metal tumble silently through the empty vacuum above it. Things begin to happen very quickly as Alpha Team lays down fire on the gatehouse, and Bravo Team skids out across the ice behind the castle and makes for the forbiddingly high walls. A chain of fireworks erupts from the ground and bursts over the battlements in front of them. Then, nothing. Nothing but silence and the jerky movements of Alan's men. They reach the foot of the wall and swarm up it as if they aren't wearing heavy backpacks, while a second dragon launcher pops a rocket off at the front of the castle, and someone, Sergeant Howe, I think, beats the courtyard with machine gun fire that makes small mushroom clouds of white vapor burst from the ground. And there's still no answering fire.
Alpha secure,
someone grunts in my headphones. Then,
Bravo secure. Cease fire, cease fire. We've got an empty venue. Empty? Confirm.
It's Alan's voice. He doesn't sound perturbed, but...
Alpha here, the place is empty, insists whoever's using that call sign. As in, abandoned. Bravo confirms. Mike here. There's a dead truck in the courtyard, but no sign of life up here. Dunno about the central target, but if they've retreated in there, they aren't coming out. They wouldn't have heard us anyway.
He sounds nervous, breathy.
Mike, keep under cover. Don't assume anything. Hammer, close in fast and secure the gatehouse. Chitin, lay on the central blockhouse, but hold fire on my word. Charlie team, move in.
Alan stands up and runs forward, crouching close to the ground. Across the landscape, I can see the others moving toward the castle's shattered gates, popping up and lunging forward for a few seconds, then diving flat to the ground, ready to fire. Still, nothing happens. What's going on, I wonder. Only one way to find out. I stand up and jog forward heavily, feeling the backpack ramming my feet down onto the frozen ground. The empty killing apron is about 100 meters wide, and I feel really naked as I step out onto it, out of the cover of the petrified forest. But there's no sign of life in the castle. Nothing at all untoward happens as I trot forward, and, panting, heave myself into the shadow of the gatehouse. It looms overhead, a gray mound of concrete or stone in the darkness. A narrow window, dark as the crypt, overlooks the entranceway. The gates are solid slabs of wood, bound in metal, but they lean drunkenly away from the huge hole that the dragon blew between them. I pause, and someone whacks me in the back.
Howard, get down!
I get down and feel icy cold through the thick padding on my knees and elbows.
There's some radio chatter, terse announcements as each team makes its way through a series of checkpoints.
Chitin, keep the blockhouse covered. Hutter, any signs of life?
Hutter, nothing, boss. Blockhouse is warm, but nothing's moving outside it. Correction. I have a temperature fix on the courtyard. It's a couple of degrees warmer than outside. Probably heat from the blockhouse.
The blockhouse is glowing brightly on infrared, a surer sign of life than anything else we've seen. I edge through the tunnel under the walls, rammed earth overhead, frozen like cement, and peer round the corner at the blockhouse. The name doesn't do it justice. It's the central building in the complex, and it's built like a small castle. Windows high up, big dome erupting from the roof, small doors shut tight against the chill. Some kind of small vehicle, like a weird cross between a tank and a motorbike, is parked against the wall, dusty with a sprinkling that isn't snow.
"Cool, I always wanted a Kettencrud,"
someone remarks on the common channel.
"Morris, shut the fuck up. The cylinder heads are probably vacuum welded anyway. Chitin, check out the doors. Scary Spice, cover with the M40.
Someone who doesn't look at all like one of the Spice Girls moves up beside me and levels something that looks like a drainpipe fucking a submachine gun at the blockhouse. Someone else, anonymous in winter camouflaged pressure gear, jogs forward and then dashes at the door. Bazooka Man whacks me on the shoulder to get my attention.
"Get back!" he hisses.
"Okay, I'm back," I say. Funnily enough, I don't feel afraid at all, which surprises me.
"Say, are you sure this isn't Castle Wolfenstein?"
"Fucking dinner, say that, else you can live with the fucking consequences,"
someone rumbles in my ears. Soldier number one raises something that looks like a plumber's caulking gun and squirts white paste around the frame of the blockhouse door. Still no sign of a welcoming committee. I glance up at the hostile red stars above the battlements and wonder why I can't see very many of them. A thought strikes me just as the guy with the plumber's mate sticks a timer into the goop and bounds back our way, then crouches.